I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You are our living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your good. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Sometimes I think it works even better just to grab somebody last minute like that, don't you? Take some of the pressure off, some of the stress off, and God always has a way of showing up, doesn't he? And blessing. What a joy. We're glad to have all of you here today. We did have a wonderful service last week. It was just amazing. And everybody that was a part of it, participated, it was such a huge blessing. I'll tell you what's exciting for a pastor, though, is to see you come back the next week.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. It's so good to see you back with us today. I'm still praying about where we're going to be as far as a series. I think me and God have been kind of going round and round, and I think we he's kind of got it through my thick skull where we need to go next. Just take me a little while to get it put together and get the series started. So we're still kind of just jumping around. So this past week, thinking about obviously being Easter and the service and what it signifies, the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and then he ascended. So I thought, man, what better place for us to be than jump into Acts chapter 1 and look at an event that took place after Jesus had ascended. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. If you'll stand with me while we look at this scripture together. What had happened? Jesus already ascended, and now they're kind of here. You know, Jesus in the physical body, he's gone. And so now all the people that were together in the upper room, they've got to figure out, now what are we going to do next? What are we going to do knowing that our master, our leader, our Lord, he's already gone into heaven? What do we do now as we're waiting for the Spirit to come? So we jump in verse number 15 of chapter number 1. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, and he said, the number of the names together were about 120. He said, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in their proper tongue, Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take," meaning his position. Verse 21, "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed, and they said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Father, as we come to you today, first we want to praise you. We want to exalt your holy name. Thank you, God, for just the privilege and opportunity to be here in your house today. We're thankful that you've already blessed through song and testimony and all that's been said and done, God. It just reminds us how good it is to be in your house. As we come to this part of the service, God, my prayer is first that you forgive me and cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness. I don't want to stand up here, God, and speak what I want to say. I want your Holy Spirit to give word. I want you to preach to me, preach to us, give us what we need today. Speak to every heart. We know you can take one verse of Scripture and speak to every heart a special and a unique message. We know, God, you're able to do that. So we pray that all that are within the sound of our voice today, that you would speak to us, God. Let your Holy Spirit have his way in among us here today. If we're outside of fellowship with you, God, we pray we'd be drawn in to that right relationship. If we're lost and undone without you, we pray today that that deep, pungent conviction would take place in our hearts and we'd understand our great need of you, Jesus. If we're here today and we're unchosen, I pray today, God, that you would give us comfort through this message, that you would encourage us and strengthen us to know that, yes, we can be unchosen for certain things, but God, we are all special and unique in your eyes, and you love us, and you died for us. Pray your blessings, Lord, on the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Two guys that were selected We got to go back just briefly and just say, you know, Judas was one of the original 12. And since he, you know, betrayed Christ and he was basically identified as the son of perdition, the son of sin, basically, that he was not actually one of a true apostle in that apostleship. So now that he's gone, they've got to get somebody else to come in and fill that spot, or they felt the need to get somebody else in there to be 12. So there were some criteria that they had to go through and say, well, it needs to be somebody in order to be an apostle. An apostle is different than a disciple. We're disciples, those of us that believe in Jesus and follow Jesus and try to understand his teachings. An apostle is someone who actually saw Jesus, walked with Jesus, and was there when he was resurrected. All these things, from the baptism to the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, they wanted somebody that was going to be numbered in that 12 to be one of those people that experienced all those things in that 3 year to 3.5 year period. So there were a lot of people, no doubt, that fit the bill for that, that had been with Jesus the entire time, more than what we see named in the Bible. But there were a couple, they said, let's pray, and let's get some people. Who are some of the people really that God's impressing on your heart? So they came up with these two names. The name Joseph Barsabbas, you know, I used to think that that was the last name, like Simon Bar-Jonah. I thought, well, Bar-Jonah's his last name. He's one of the few people in the Bible with the last name. You ever think that when you were younger? Maybe you still think that's okay. It's okay if you still think that. But what when it says a name and it says Bar something, Simon Bar-Jonah, Bar means son of Jonah. So it's kind of like that family name, you know, Simon, son of Jonah. And in this instance, when we find one of these people that's mentioned, his name is Joseph Barsabbas, Joseph, son of Sabbath. So that's the connection. A lot of people had the same name. And so a lot of times they had either a surname, which this one had a surname of Justice, which means just, which is good. But they had several names or a couple of names or would connect a father so they could figure out who these people are. You know, you had a lot of Josephs walking around. You had a lot of people with the same common name. So anyway, you had this guy, then you had Matthias. You had these two men, and be quite honest with you, we don't know a whole lot about either one of them after this. They literally disappear as far as Scripture's concerned. I'm going to share a couple of Scriptures at the end that perhaps might be this man that we're looking at, this Joseph, but we're not sure. It's not something we can bank on. So, but one of these guys is going to be chosen, and they cast lots, however they did that. You know, it was, some people say, well, it's just like, it's similar to like a roll of a dice. It's casting a lot or casting your vote, and the vote, the name fell upon Matthias, so him to be numbered with the 12. So what that meant was, how we think about things and how we look at things today. You know what that means to us today? You got a winner and you got a loser. Isn't that how we look at life today? We look at Matthias as the winner. He gets to be numbered as the 12. Joseph, poor Joseph, you're a loser. You lost. You didn't win it. So what I want to do is talk about that unchosen today. I want to talk about that one. When you were a kid, were you the one that was maybe last picked to be on a team? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been the one that wasn't popular or wasn't a part of the crowd that everybody wanted to hang out with? Do you ever think that, man, I just wasn't chosen for these things. I wasn't a part of these things. I'm not cool enough, or I'm not good enough, or whatever it is that we felt like we were exempt from certain things in life. I'm going to tell you something, be completely honest with you. It is not fun to be unchosen, is it? It's just not. No matter where it's at or how, what part of life it involves, it's not fun because we think in our minds that if we're unchosen, we've been rejected. I think society has drilled that into our heads to think if I'm unchosen, then I'm unworthy and I'm rejected. I hope to battle that thought today as we think about this unchosen man Joseph and us perhaps being unchosen. I want to remind you of some things that perhaps not in this world of how the world chooses, But I want us to look at how God thinks about people that are unchosen. The first thing is this: unchosen can help define our calling. Being unchosen can help us define our calling. Listen, if you can't carry a tune in a bucket, and I'm going to try not to look at anybody. Scotty's already confessed. Then you know what? Maybe singing is not your calling. Maybe you're not chosen to be the one to lead the choir in our cantatas that we... But here's the thing about it. We can get caught up in being so envious of somebody, you know, that can sing beautifully. When Amanda stands up here, I don't know if she's in here yet, you know, now or not, but I'm going to brag on her a minute. But you know what it appears to me? It appears effortless. It is effortless for her or people like her to stand, ask this morning at church, can you sing a song? Nervous a little bit, but man, when she gets up here, it's effortless. Why? Because she's been chosen and given a gift to be able to magnify the Lord through song. And we see it and we experience and we feel it. Now, we can sit here and listen to that. You can look at what she did today two ways. You can sit here and praise God in your spirit, say, thank you, God. Wow, what a blessing. Or we can say, man, I wished I had that. We can choose how we want to look at somebody that has been chosen or been called to a specific ministry or been given a unique talent. So we got to decide, am I going to allow me being unchosen for certain things cause me to be envious of other people's lives, or am I going to let it help me define what I am called and chosen to do? What has God blessed me with that I can do and I can do well that perhaps other people can't even do? I know that we talk about, you know, gifts, and we talk about spiritual gifts and talents and abilities and all those things. And some people think, well, I just don't think God give me any gifts. No, he's not that way. He's going to give you gifts. You may have one or two or three or four. You may have a smaller number than some other people that it seems like no matter what they do, they're amazing at it. We can be envious of those people if we're not careful. But what God's trying to teach us to do is let the fact that you're not chosen for everything or for certain things help you to define by the leadership of the Holy Spirit what it is that God's telling you that you need to do. I want to flip over, and I just thought about this earlier and jotted it down. Flip over to Numbers with me in chapter number 16. Numbers chapter 16. Interesting story here. And this really helps us understand defining our call and how being unchosen can help us understand what we're chosen to do. I want to pick up in verse number 4 of Numbers chapter 16. Moses heard it and he fell on his face. What happened? This guy named Korah, K-O-R-A-H, Korah, and 100 or so, I'm not sure of the number, 250 princes he got together. So he's been working on this for some time. He got upset because he's thinking Moses leading everybody around, Moses making all the decisions, Moses settling all disputes. Moses is the guy to go to for everything. So he got a bunch of these young princes that thought they knew everything together and under his leadership, and they went into Moses. They said, Moses, you're taking on way too more than you need to. So here's what Moses, he's hurt and he's broken when he hears this news. So then in verse number 5, he spake to Korah and unto all of his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Notice the word chosen. He's called certain people to be leaders. He's called certain people to be followers, to be supporters, encouragers. Verse 6, this do, take your censer, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, here I pray you, you sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. They were envious because they weren't Moses, even though Moses reminded them, listen, Korah, do you understand? God has designated a specific calling for you. Do you think that is nothing? Do you think because you're not Moses, because you're not me, because you're not where I'm at, you're not under what God is telling me I need to do? You're upset because God has called you as a Levite to be a minister and servant in the tabernacle, to help offer these sacrifices, to help burn the incense, and help initiate the prayers of the people and the praise of God? Are you thinking that's just a light thing for you to do? Listen, he's saying go back and reevaluate your life and understand, yeah, you may not be chosen to be Moses, but guess what? There's just one Moses. And we all can't be Moses. There's a whole lot of other places we can serve God and honor God and praise God and glorify God. And he's saying you're called into a special and a beautiful and a unique ministry, so you need to be thankful for that. Do you think that's nothing? If we're not careful, we can take our eyes off what God's telling us to do and put our eyes and fix our eyes on what God's telling somebody else to do and be envious and jealous of it. I'm thankful to be a preacher. I'm thankful to be called to preach and to pastor. Some people can be envious of a preacher or pastor. They got a captive audience every Sunday, you know. They've got a handful that come in on Wednesday and, you know, they've got a cushy job and an easy job, you know, and whatever people want to think about being a pastor is. And if we're not careful, we can look at all the sparkly, exciting, and wonderful things that pertain to a position or a calling in somebody's life. But we may not understand or be aware of the 2 a.m. calls of somebody that's passed away and we got to rush to the family or to the hospital. Or the instances that, can you imagine, why would anybody want Moses' job? You know what Korah wanted? He wanted to be able to tell everybody what to do. That's what he wanted. He sure didn't want to have to deal with everybody's problems and disputes, and I'm sure there were, I can't even imagine what Moses had to stand and listen to and give insight from God and make decisions and leadership of the people, because anything that was done right or wrong, guess who had to stand and give an account for it? Not Korah, guess who? Moses had to. Guess if God is going to be upset with Richardson's Cove Baptist Church, guess who he's first going to talk to about things not going well? Not you. I'm not trying to make you feel sorry for me. I'm just saying, hey, let's be careful how we look at other people and the things that they do and the callings in their lives, and be thankful for the calling in our own life. God loves you, and he's called you to a special ministry in life. Next, let's move on. The unchosen have equal opportunity. We might think at times that, well, because I'm unchosen, I'm not going to have the opportunity to serve, the opportunity to minister. I'm going to be held back. You know, I'm going to be limited in the things that I can do. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse number 6, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but it's God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Let's be reminded that, listen, God's not going to expect us to do what Billy Graham did, because we're not Billy Graham. He's not going to demand a certain amount of souls that be saved under my ministry as he does somebody else. He's not going to demand things out of my life that he would out of the life of Moses or Paul. Thank God I'm not going to be compared to any of those guys, because we know we're all going to come up short. You know what I'm going to have to answer for? I'm going to have to answer for the things that God's told me to do. And you're going to have to answer for the things that God has told you to do. When we look at the parable of the talents, and he gave one 5, one 2, and one talent. These are talents, gifts, basically reference to abilities and spiritual gifts various numbers of gifts and talents will God give us. We're not all going to have one or three or seven. Various numbers of gifts are going to be given. So then you notice that the person that had five took advantage of the gifts that he had in a good way, and so did the person that had two, and they both received a reward. The person that had one, well, because he refused to try to multiply or use it for the kingdom of God, he lost it. But I want to read to you two verses of Scripture that are identical, and here's what they are. They're the response from the master to the man that had five talents and to the man that had two talents. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 and verse 23, it's identical that he's talking about two different people. He said to both of them. Now, the man that had five doubled his to 10. The man that had two doubled his to 4. The man that had five and went to 10 should get way more, shouldn't he? No. Because God is an equal opportunity employer. God is only going to expect out of you what he gives you the resource and ability to do. I only have to answer for my calling. I don't have to answer for yours. You don't have to answer for mine. But if we are faithful to God in what he's called us to do, wow, wouldn't it be awesome to hear those words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Come into the joy of the Lord. I'm thankful to know that I am going to have an equal opportunity to serve God regardless of the things I am not chosen to be a part of. I'm thankful that God's going to look at my life and my calling and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and I'm only going to have to answer for those things God has called me to do. I think about, there are some people that probably feel like, I'm useless to the kingdom of God. I'm not a teacher. I'm not serving as a leader in church. I'm not like an elder or a deacon or a pastor. I'm not over ministry in the church. You know, I just show up and sit on the pew and I go back home and, you know, have a small group of friends. I'm just not somebody that has a lot to offer. And there are people that are like that, you know, all over. There are people that feel as though they don't have anything to give. They don't have purpose. And I know sometimes as we start to get a little bit older too, that can even dig in a little bit more. It's like even with my age now, I'm not able to do physically a lot of things I used to do. So we can let a lot of things come into play into our lives to where we'll feel like our usefulness is diminishing and we don't have any purpose anymore with God. Years ago, the church I pastored before I came here, we had the opportunity to build a house for a lady. It was just a small home. We took a lot where a trailer had sat, and the old trailer was just literally falling apart, and took it off and rebuilt a home on the same size lot of where the little trailer was. And so we all pitched in, you know, and all of us that had trades within the church, we participated in that, you know, and one did this and one did that. Tom Howard knows all about Miss Nellie Brown's house. He remembers that. He was there from day one. We had a great time, didn't we, bro? That was such a blessing. And I'll never forget, though, those of us guys that had a trade and we would work and do those things. My great uncle, Clay Compton, my grandfather's brother, he was retired, obviously, at his age, and physically wasn't able to get down there. And he was a woodworker, you know. Not a lot of woodworking to be done in building the house and his trade and what he was talented and blessed with. But I tell you what he did. Every day, about 10 o'clock, he come wheeling in there in the car and popped the trunk and had coolers full of cold drinks for us. And I'm thinking, wow, that right there is utilizing the calling. God. No, he wasn't an electrician. He wasn't a plumber, a heat and air guy. He wasn't a carpenter. He wasn't a roofer. He wasn't a block mason. But I tell you what he could do. He could go down to the store and get a bag of ice and a bunch of cold drinks and bring them over there to the guys that were working and let us have something to drink. He could do that. He didn't let being unchosen for certain things limit him. He knew he had an opportunity to glorify the Lord in just handing out a few Diet Pepsis. We can sit and get upset about where we think we're at or how we think we've been cheated in our relationship with God, or we can say, you know something? I'm going to be on board and on fire in what God is telling me He's calling me to do. God will bless you for your efforts if we're faithful to Him. Next, unchosen is not unloved. The society will not tell you that. To be unchosen is to be rejected or to be denied. That's what society will tell you. If you don't make the team, you're cut. It means you're useless and you have no value. The world wants us to understand winners and losers. But when it comes to God, we need to understand just because we're not chosen for certain things doesn't mean we're unloved. God loves all of us. And I've got a passage of scripture that this could have been a very difficult situation when God sent Samuel to anoint David as the king over Israel. 1 Samuel 16:11. Samuel said to Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent, and he brought him in, and he was ruddy, which means reddish. Perhaps he had reddish tint to his hair. And withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look on. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Saul had messed up. King Saul had messed up, and he had lost his kingdom. And because he lost his kingdom, God said, "I've got another man, a man after my own heart, young David, that I want you to anoint to be the next king over Israel." And we're all excited thinking, well, David, you know, yeah, David, King David, it's going to be great. He's going to be part of the bloodline of the Messiah, the Christ that's going to come. He's going to be a descendant of King David. He's even acknowledged later as Jesus calls him my father David. Does mean I'm a descendant of David, of the bloodline of King David, and that's how he is able to be king as well. A lot of things tie together about who David is. But you know something that a person we forget about is Jonathan. King Saul had a son. His name was Jonathan. And by rights, he should have been the next king. Now, how would you feel if you were next in line to the throne and your dad messed up, lost the kingdom? Well, you know what you would expect? You would expect God to anoint you the next king. I'm going to step up and I'm going to make a difference for the kingdom of God. But it didn't happen. God chose somebody else. God chose David. Because God chose David, does it mean that he disliked Jonathan or hated or despised Jonathan? Absolutely not. He loved Jonathan. But he knew the heart of David, and he knew what he wanted David to do, and he knew the heart of Jonathan and knew what he wanted Jonathan to do. Jonathan had a choice to make, as many of us do in life. I can get mad and upset about this, and I can protest, and then I will be useless to the kingdom of God by sitting around angry all the time. Or I can embrace it and say, this is God's business. God has called and established this and put David in place to be the next king, and I can do everything I can to honor God in my life while David sits on the throne. This is a big deal right here. You know what Jonathan did? He knit his soul with David, the Bible says. You know what he did? He became the best friend David had. He literally bowed down himself and pledged allegiance to David. I'm going to do whatever it is, king, that you tell me you're going to do. I'm going to honor you. Knowing that his dad still sat on the throne and he wasn't getting it. Man, I want to be like Jonathan. I want to be more like Jonathan. I want to be somebody who will listen to the Spirit of God, and as he speaks to me, I'll be guided by him and I'll follow him and I'll honor him and not be envious of people and their positions and things that I think that they have. Jonathan was sold out to God. And Jonathan had an opportunity then, because of his love of God and his position, he saved David's life from his father Saul. It's amazing what God did because Jonathan chose to say, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to honor you, and I'm not going to be envious of David, but I'm going to choose to be one of the best friends that Jonathan has in his life, that David has in his life. Next, I know that we looked at a lot of things that unchosen means. It doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean that. Now let's look at how God feels about those of us. Are there people in God's eyes that are unchosen? Well, it can be tricky, but I wrote this down. All are chosen by God. Amen. Now let me explain myself, because I know what you're thinking. Those of you that are pretty fluent in the Bible, I know the passage of Scripture you're going to. Matthew 22 and verse number 14 that says, many are called, but few are chosen. I get the passage and I understand, but we must also understand what that word means in the book of Matthew. It means elect. The word chosen to us today means for me to call you, for me to select you, for me to approach you, for me to ask you. That's what chosen means to us, is I choose you, I pick you, I select you. Chosen here means those that are going to become the elect. He said he's going to call many, he's going to call a lot. Basically, he's going to call everybody. But only certain ones are going to become part of the elect. Let me back up and confirm my point by a couple more verses of Scripture. 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. It's God's desire that everybody... So listen. As far as salvation is concerned, everybody is chosen. Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When Moses drew the line in the sand because the people had rebelled and built the golden calf, and he drew the line in the sand, he said, you choose. Do you want to get on this side over here with me and honor God and follow God and progress in what God has for us? Or do you want to stay on that side and say, I'm rejecting God? We are all called and given the opportunity to embrace God, but we still make that conscious choice as to whether we want to accept Him or not. When Noah built the ark, the door was open the entire time as he built the ark. Got a little closer, started to gather up some of the animals and put them in, got his family together and got inside, the door was still open. There's still opportunity for any neighbor, anybody to come by and to approach him. Do you have room for me? Yes, get on in here. Do you want to be saved? Get in here. Nobody came and nobody wanted on board. Yeah, in God's eyes, everybody is chosen. Everybody is called. Everybody is convicted of their sins and given an opportunity to be saved, so that nobody is without excuse when we stand before God. And I think about that, the seriousness of being chosen, being called, being set aside, being asked to be saved. Are you here today and you're not saved? Think about your relationship to God right now. Don't worry about a baptism. Don't worry about a church attendance. Don't worry about anything else you've done. Being saved means that you've reached a point that the Spirit has convicted you that you're lost and you need to be saved. He also addresses the fact that Jesus died on a cross for your sins, so you can be saved. We've got to ask Christ's forgiveness of our sins. Confess to Him, I'm lost, I'm undone, I need you to be saved. We've got to understand we cannot get to heaven any other way than believing in Jesus. He paid the way for us. So if that's you today, if that's where you're at today, today you're being chosen. God's asking you, He's telling you, I died for you and I paid your sin debt. And if you want to be saved, you have an opportunity to be saved. No person can stand at the great white throne judgment at the end of days and say, I wasn't given an opportunity to be saved. Because the sea's going to bring up the dead. The graves are going to open up. All the dead are going to be raised up. All those lost and undone without Christ are going to stand before Him one day and give that account. The books are going to be open. The books of your life. Jesus is going to examine the books of your life. It's scriptural in Revelation. Your life is going to be seen by Him and exposed to Him. And He's going to see that you have sinned against Him and are unworthy to enter into His presence. But then the book is going to be open. The book of life is going to be open. And He's going to look and He's going to see if your name is in there. Are you one that while you're here on this earth, has chosen to believe in Jesus and ask him in your heart, your name's not going to be in there. Then you're going to be cast into a lake of fire that burns forever and ever and ever and ever. You may be unchosen for things in this world. You may be unchosen for certain ministries in life because God has different things he's calling you to do that suit you and who you are and how he made you. But know this, God's calling everybody unto salvation. He wants you to be saved today and know him in a personal way. If you've been saved, you think, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but till then I'm just kind of coasting because I don't have usefulness, then maybe we need to start praying more about our relationship with God. God, speak to me about a calling. Speak to me. What have you chosen me to do? What gifts have you given me? What talents do I have that I can utilize for your kingdom? Don't worry about anybody else but what God's telling you to do. And I wrote this down to kind of wrap it up. Don't focus on what we're not chosen for, but give everything we have to what we are chosen for. I think that says it. Are you giving everything you got to Jesus Christ? If you're not, then, well, we need to make some decisions today. Stand with me as we pray to begin our invitation. Father,